welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. We've been through, a lot of different transitions over the years. I officially started in business in 96, went full-time in 98. I was a banker, fairly successful banker, if there is such a thing, and just loved coins, loved the business, and wanted to just get out of corporate America for a couple years, get a breath, and go. I guess I assumed I'd go back in. I didn't. I thought as an employee more than an employer, which definitely has its benefits. There's a lot of days I miss it. It's interesting talking to friends and people that have businesses as I do. Just the struggles that we all endure. Even with this COVID thing, employees, it's a lot more work. When you own a business, what's crazy, it's really hard to understand is the buck stops with you. You hear that saying, and I suppose it's like the presidency's supposed to be, but the buck stops. What it means is you're responsible for everything. And until you're in that position for a period of time, and especially after you've been in business a long, long time and you develop a whole bunch of clientele and a lot of relationships and variances, and you get juggling a lot of different things. But ultimately, you're responsible for everything. And that's where I always call it the employee versus the employer mentality. There's people who, very rare, that just are personal responsibility experts. They take personal responsibility. They just look at themselves for constant and continuous improvement. They have high expectations for themselves, high standards. Isn't that really what we're called to be? I mean, it's been interesting to me, even through this COVID thing or everything, just watching people's responses. There's so many people that, like last Friday, I'm going to touch on it again. Last Friday, I covered this Swiss report, on the COVID virus and, kind of how extent, how bad we've been duped. We have significant, profound issues in this nation. I really don't even know where to begin or where to end. You've got the Black Lives Matter thing is really sad to me, and here's why. Because they name it Black Lives Matter. And so in order to critique any of their activities or actions, which is what we're supposed to be able to do as Americans, it's called free speech, the First Amendment, you're suddenly a racist. They have used the term racist so heavily and so extensively, they've watered the word down, tore it down, broke it down, destroyed it, abused it, stamped on it, ruined it. Martin Luther King, okay, truly a great man, okay? His dream was a colorless world, to be colorblind, okay? And even growing up being a 70s baby, you remember, I'd like to see, teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. And then, basically, it was the movement of colorlessness. It was unity. It was tied into the 60s love thing. But, God's the author of love. And so it's a lot better than the hate movement we're currently enduring now, is it not? But the whole point was that everybody's equal. Everyone's God's children. And even in the 60s, what's interesting, even though you had a lot of these kids rebelling and stuff, they were still raised in a Judeo-Christian environment. A lot of these kids grew up in church, and so when they went off the deep end, they had a certain set of beliefs that they were impregnated in them. And basically, that's what God says in his word. You teach, raise up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. Now, there's always rebels, and there's hard-hearted, and, there's the nature versus nurture, and people now, you know, I don't know when it all really began. Maybe the 80s, but for sure the 90s, where everything became your parents' fault and your upbringing. And all that stuff's relevant to look at, to understand who you are today. Yes, but the blame game that psychologists and psychiatrists got into, it creates this vitriol and this hate. And I think, you know, we all have our own paradigm, right? And that's your perspective on reality. And you got to understand that all these things in your past create a filter. And that filter develops over time to the point where anything you see, you perceive, goes through your filter. So no matter, and we also have physiological makeup in our mind, in our bodies. We're all different. I've had employees that I called the anti-human, and I never said that to their face. But, you know, like I've told you, I've had a couple Asperger's employees. They literally see everything backwards. If people like it warm and sunny, they like it cold and muggy and slippery, and they like their coffee 6 days old and bitter, and they want their food cold, and you know, and every, I mean, seriously, I've seen all this stuff. It's crazy. And it's, we all have a filter, and we have to realize that we all have that filter. If we raise our children in the way they should go, as the Bible says, that you do place that filter within them. One of the biggest problems is, I think our conscience can easily become seared. And then when it gets to a certain point, God says in his word that he turns us over to a reprobate heart, a reprobate mind, depending on the translation, which is not a comforting thought. When God, the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, turns you over and says, you know what? You go live your life the way you want to live it. But I'll tell you what, folks, you don't have my blessing and protection. I'm talking as if I was God. Trust me, I'm not. But the thing is if he removes all that, that's a scary place to be. And a lot of us in America, we are on a runaway train. People say we're in a spiritual battle. Absolutely, 100%. But the problem is, how much does Satan have to work to get a lot of Americans to do what he needs them to do? So many of us are now conditioned to behave so insanely sinful, if you will, inappropriately. He doesn't have to try that hard. Or we're lukewarm. You know, in Revelation 3:7 or something, God says, you know, I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. He's saying you're lukewarm. That is the most annoying person in the world to any of us, I would hope. Is somebody who's lukewarm. They stand for nothing. They're flaky. We've all had those people in our lives when you need them to back you up, they're nowhere to be found, or vice versa, they're just chameleons, believers, or, you know, they won't stand on their own laurels. They won't stand on their own beliefs. They won't stand on their own strengths. They just want to be accepted and needed and wanted, and they don't care. And I'm telling you, I know we all, like I said, we all have our own paradigm. For me, that really bothers me a lot. Because when I watch people do this to themselves, I'm like, how pathetic. Now, our job is not to be hyper-offensive, although Christ was very clear that his word is, you know, he's here to offend, unfortunately. So, but that doesn't give us a license, okay, to try to be offensive. We want to be what Proverbs talks about. You know, we want to be super wise, but we want to just constantly be perfecting our speech and our abilities, which is maybe one of the reasons I get a little bit frustrated with Donald Trump. I think he's doing a lot of good things. There's things I'm really having a problem with lately, but he's trying to do well, but he can't defend himself, and he apparently isn't letting anybody help him with his speeches, or most importantly, help him with his tweets. People get so mad about his tweets. Folks, that is so dumb. You know, I don't like his tweets, but I don't mind burning down, you know, anything and everything and tearing down statues. It is the most ignorant absence of knowledge of history imaginable. Teachers that are participating in this should be utterly ashamed of themselves. Where do they get this alternative history, by the way? I mean, clear back, I was talking to someone this weekend, and, you know, I was going to college back in the 80s, and even then, when I was in 100 level English, we had to write all the controversial papers and take on all the controversial subjects so they could do the brainwashing, and then you'd have to give a speech. Well, before I had come to accept Christ as my Savior and Lord, I still just knew somehow. Well, I know how, because I'd accepted him when I was in third grade and forgot. But, and then I renewed that when I was 18, but I, or 19-ish. But the thing is I stood against abortion in my paper in a very large English 100 level class. And there was lots of kids in there. And there was myself and another girl were it out of, you know, 35, 40 kids that chose to write against it. The professor lacerated us. The other gal was a very strong Christian and, you know, just got beat up so bad by this professor, she left the class. I didn't, but then they also did consensus thinking where they put us in small groups and then the group was to choose a leader. And basically what it was like a jury. Their job was to persuade me to change my mind. And I'm telling you, it was all girls, and I took a beating, just a beating. The professor was basically beckoning them to persuade me against or for abortion, even in the 80s. Now, you got to remember, that's back when Democrats used to say, well, if it's, you know, what do they say, safe, and I don't even remember the term, and whatever it is, legal, safe, whatever. Now, they're, folks, literally, and I hate to say this, they're doing post-delivery abortions. In other words, murder in fresh air. How could you live with yourself? And I'll tell you what else. One of my beliefs is, over the years talking to lots of ladies who haven't repented to the Lord or God for their actions, I believe that they want it to stay legal because if it's legal, it's right. And it somehow, they believe, helps clear their conscience of murder. That baby has separate DNA. That baby is created by God from before the moment of conception. And it's interesting now in my mind, whenever I say this stuff, created and all this, I've got you get so much of this heat around you about evolution. I had someone close to me the other day say, well, evolution's so obvious. Anybody who doesn't believe in it's an idiot. Like, really? Well, that's kind of interesting since it's not true. And it's, you know, it's a later concept. And Darwin even said, you know, it would take too long and, you know, people, then they refute. The problem is, people are not seeking the truth. They are not addicted to the truth, desiring the truth. And that is what God is about in God's word. And we've got the body of Christ, the believers, a lot of you are that are listening. And, you know, the whole desire is that we want to know God's truth. God put us here, you know, and people who get into this evolution concept, they're like, well, it's, you know, it's too big, it's too much. And it's like, man, that is so illogical, okay? So it's so profound, it's so well organized, and it's so beautifully orchestrated, okay? We've got ecology, if you know what that is. That's how everything in the earth and everything in the universe works together like the most finely tuned watch in history. Now, the new watches are just digital, no big deal. I collect watches, you know, nice high-end watches, older stuff and newer stuff. And the old watches, they were so ornate and so intricate. And the watchmaker had to cut every single tiny little sprocket and calibrate everything down to the minutiae. And there was weights and there was balances and there was springs. And it's just, it's unheard of that it even works, okay? So this is where we live. And you take that and that's a joke. You know, the whole, you've probably heard the watchmaker. If you saw a pocket watch flying through space and grabbed it, no matter what your belief system was, would you say, whoa, look at what evolution made. Look at this incredible Waltham Bun special railroad watch that evolution made. No, you'd know there was a creator. And we see similarities in, you know, throughout various species. And you see, you know, they'll say, oh, like, you know, whales have, you know, two legs inside their fins or whatever. And so they must have been legs that shrunk up and went away and all that stuff. Well, first of all, who knows? Because there's microevolution within a species. There's no doubt there's evolution that way. But just because it's a common creator, we don't know. It's way beyond our comprehension, fine. But to say it's so ornate and so complex, look what humans do. I mean, if you were, could you comprehend, there's an individual I know who owns 25,000 separate rental units, right? He manages them well. 25,000 units. He's very wealthy. Well, logically, you'd say, oh my gosh, that is so big. I couldn't even comprehend running that, right? Well, he's got a system that works. Now, God's a little bigger, but at the same time, how does that man run that? He has a lot of workers working for him. God does have angels. God, however, can be in all places at all times, which is a bizarre concept. But, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of things that are over our head. Just the complexities of a skyscraper or an aircraft, you know, it's incredible. It's beyond our comprehension. But just because it's beyond our comprehension doesn't make us say that was an accident. And I think that that is really where we're going here, folks. We've got governance by God in the conservative realm or governance by man, which is the socialistic realm. And the socialist folks, they're freaking out as much as we are because they're terrified. They are buying in, they're drinking the Kool-Aid of this stuff, they're drinking it up, and they're terrified. They think there's this deadly virus going around, and all indications say not. It's just the flu. It's just a propagation of the flu. Now, when the election comes, and trust me, this stuff will continue to grow and be pushed through the election until each one of us wakes up and begins to seek the truth and abandon fear. Fear, my friends, is your worst enemy. And so many of you, even the more big and macho and rigid you become or act, the more factually driven by fear you are, because people who are comfortable with themselves, they're transparent, you know, they're not afraid. They're just, you know, and we have to be comfortable within ourselves. I know in the 80s, they had the big self movement, 80s and 90s. But when Christ says, love your neighbor as yourself, what happens when we've got these? Now, think about it. You get these people that are suicidally depressed. What do they contribute to their friendships and relationships in society? You know, not much, because they hate themselves right then. So we've got to have a good, solid self-esteem, a belief in ourselves. We've got to know ourselves. We've got to know how God made us. And we've got to know what our potential is. But so many people are so afraid, and it's so, you know, the number one sign, I think, and I, you know, I don't mean to get pointing fingers or whatever, but one of the number one signs of self-discomfort is defensiveness. When people, you know, when people just rebound everything, everything bounces off of them or they try to make it, they become super oversensitive. If we're so insecure in who we are, and especially when, you know, we're around people that are maybe more accomplished than us in areas that we maybe respect, that's where transparency and humility come into play. Where we just, it's okay to be humble and honor a man. It's okay. And I don't mean to worship a man, but to honor him, to show dignity and respect. Respect is everything, right? And we, you know, it all starts with each and every one of us. We've got to do, you know, we just want to go out and we want to do our best. If you struggle with that, you just have to become comfortable with yourself, I guess. You know, the Dale Carnegie How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is a very Christian-based book, kind of rebounds off of the Proverbs 18:2 in a way. It's about empathy. It's putting yourself in other people's shoes. But Proverbs 18:2 is a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. Well, that doesn't just mean they have a high opinion of themselves. It usually means they want attention, they want to be noticed, and they want to defend themselves. And, you know, and it's just, this is the people we got to be. So we need to combine this with being spiritual warriors out there. We've got to be standing up for what's right and true and good. We're supposed to be the salt and light of the earth. We're supposed to be the aroma of Christ. You know, and I was talking to a guy today, he's talking about, you know, salt. It says, you know, when salt's lost its saltiness, it becomes no good except to be trampled underfoot by men. So basically, if you're not walking with God, if you're not putting your faith in God, you're getting trampled underfoot by men. If you're walking with God, and folks, it is not about perfection. I am telling you, I've run into this so much. Get that out of your head. Who did Jesus go see? Okay, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, well, those people were ready. They were primed. Their hearts, they were broken. You know, they were these sad, you buy the liberal commentary. Oh, they were these sad, homeless people that have been downtrodden by society. No, they were broken sinners. But God knew their hearts. He knew where they were at, and he knew their needs. And that's really when God was showing us. That's when we're supposed to approach him. In our truthfulness and just say, Lord, work on me. And the worst thing, folks, I mean, the most shallow believers you'll ever run into are just finger pointers. And, I guess I'll just leave it at that. It's so important that we just make all we can do is make the contribution that we can do to society. And when we talk about fear, and believe me, folks, right now, applies more than any time. I mean, they've come after us. The 9/11 thing, which again, you look at Revelations, the end of 17 and all of 18, and it talks about the destruction of Mystery Babylon. You know, the World Trade Centers fit the bill 100%. And then it kind of ends there. It's not fully chronological. There's three sections of Revelations and all that, but the angels rejoice, and then it kind of just ends there. It doesn't really tell us afterwards what happens, but then we can go back in Scripture and see the plagues and all this stuff come out. And we don't know what, when, where, and how, and all that. But the bottom line is that everything after that point began to decline. We're losing our footing in every way. America became phenomenal. We've had our ups and downs. We were at, I remember 15 years ago on the radio show saying, you know, these experts of the fourth turning book and all that, talking about America was at its teenage stage. At 200 years in the history of nations, we were at our teenage stage. What do teenagers do? They got to make decisions. Which direction do we go? Do we choose things that are good, that are going to take our lives a great direction? Do we begin to grow and mature, or do we rebel? Well, guess what? I'm kind of thinking we're rebelling. And we've got like the Black Lives Matter thing going on. Folks, it is like I said, Martin Luther King wanted a colorblind society. Unity is necessary. And I'll tell you what, there's no excuse ever, ever, ever to destroy property that doesn't belong to you. You can destroy your own. I still wouldn't recommend it. But to destroy property and spew hatred and anger and frustration and blame. And it's like, I guarantee you, those people don't feel better about themselves when they're done doing that stuff. They're jacked up, they're hopped up, and who knows on what. And then they're looking over their shoulders and they're paranoid. And you don't feel good about that. You're not making any statement. It may be a false sense of pride. And false pride is another destructive trait very much. Sins of the flesh. But it's not making them better people. It's making them worse. And we have got to have a sense of a system of law and order. And I mentioned in the last show, we've lost some of that. I'm not going to argue. We have to support our officers and law enforcement, and they are absolutely doing what they're taught to execute and do. But the thing is, and yeah, there's some deviations. I mean, I've had a lot of years and too many in martial arts and similar type training, and you know, there's just so many different levels of escalation. And they used to say, hey, escalate a situation, you know, one notch at a time. You use a greater amount of force to subdue or sustain or control, but you don't go full throttle. It's not a matter of if you're justified, okay? Because the law says if you are, quote, afraid for your life or in fear of your life, you can draw arms. Police have a lot more latitude in that, but you know, when they do that stuff, it really leaves a lasting remnant. And now we got to remember, everybody's being filmed. You have to assume you are. I believe the police need to wear body cams all the time. I do know that the system and the justice system and the DAs and stuff tend to favor them, and they have to. They've got to. You've got to stand behind it. It boils down to, you know, truth. We're in such a litigious society that we are, you know, we've got businesses imposing laws, or at least Inslee's trying to make us do this. And it's interesting, today I was texting with Matt Shea, who, if you all know, is a constitutional attorney. And I was texting him about, can the governor, I already know the answer, I think, but can the governor force businesses to drive customers away, number one? And I said, isn't Inslee asking businesses to become law enforcement to a non-law? Is this law, or is this order, even enforceable? If you don't know what I'm talking about, Governor Wonderful Jay Inslee came out and wants to force businesses to drive customers away who are not wearing a mask. Folks, this is a crazy level of physical compliance. You know, the Fourth Amendment says that you have a right to be secure in your person, okay? Medically, physically, whatever you want to call it. You've got to be comfortable in who you are and what you are. And you've got a right to believe what you believe. They've come on immunizations and quote, taken away the religious exemption. Really? You can't have a religious belief that it's wrong for somebody to shove a dead virus filled with mercury and cyanide and arsenic and all this stuff into your system? There's so much evidence, folks. I mean, the SARS vaccine, millions of cases of nerve damage, and I mean, really? You know, and then we've got the Bill Gates concept coming around. You know, the guy has patents on all these different viruses and he wants to own the vaccines. And, you know, and then they, oh, we'll just add a little nano chip in there for you to prove you've got it so that you can buy and sell. Participate in the marketplace, as the Bible says, you know. And you don't have a religious right to refute that or deny that. You don't have a religious right to not wear a mask. Folks, I get it. If it was real, I get it. But we're being hyped and duped in a huge way. But it's interesting. Matt Shea's response, you know, he agreed with what I was saying. Article 1, Section 23 of our Constitution, state, I believe, says, "Bill, it's a bill of attainder," and this is attorney talk, "ex post facto law, etc. No bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligations of contracts shall ever be passed." So, you know, simplicity. They can't make laws that specifically cause businesses to break contractual obligations to people. People can sue me for kicking people out for various things. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. Interestingly enough, prior to this, our insurance company, and I haven't gotten a change of status on that either, by the way, they require us to not allow masks in the store. Reason being, we deal in valuables. Bad guys wear masks when they do bad things. And there are continuous over history, countless scenarios where jewelry stores and various types of coin businesses and whatnot have been robbed around holidays like Halloween and whatever with people wearing costumes. Even I've, you know, seen instances on the 17th of March, whatever that is, Paddy's Day, and then Easter Bunny stuff, whatever. Seriously, it's crazy. But Halloween's been a bad one over the years. People come in with costumes into businesses. If you, you know, on a normal day, if guys jump out of a car and throw on black masks and start running into a business, some, you know, people might see them and go, "Wow, that's a problem." And now you got masks are okay. They're demanded and required. And as I covered last week, the science is not behind this COVID thing, folks. It's just not there. And, you know, it's tough. It puts businesses in a really hard spot where business, you know, there's people, again, fear-ridden. I've had friends that listen to my show and they're like, "Oh, dude, I can't believe you say the stuff you say on there. Aren't you afraid?" You know, and there's guys that I would think, you know, with ex-military experience, and I'm like, why are these big macho men worried about me being afraid? It's like, why would you be afraid to speak the truth? You know, I mean, it's, I guess we're all called differently. But no, I'm not afraid of the truth. I want to speak the truth. But the fact of the matter is, you cannot force businesses to become law enforcement agents for an order that's handed down from a governor who, by the way, is outside of the 30-day national emergency limit on denying constitutional rights. This thing, folks, that there's a 30-day limitation on that, and it has to be in congruency with the presidential executive orders. Otherwise, states cannot ever deny people constitutional rights. They can't do it. And like I said, the Fourth Amendment tells us that we have a right to be confident or comfortable in our persons. That means you get a protection of all your, it's the right of the people to be secure in their persons. This is what it says, Fourth Amendment. And you got to remember, when they wrote the Constitution, they put in the basics, the most important stuff, and then they came back and they added amendments because somehow they thought some of these could be changed, and they have to be changed by a majority vote of Congress and the Senate and the people. And God forbid, throughout history, whenever man has believed that they are in a democracy, they quickly elect themselves a tyranny. So be aware. We're not a democracy. I hear some of the most profound conservatives calling us a democracy. We are not. We're a republic with a democratic form of government or form of elections. And today they had the law, you know, passed or pushed through where electors can't vote themselves their beliefs. Well, the elector system, again, it's a democracy thing. The purpose of the elector was we would elect an elector or multiple electors. So I'll back up. The purpose of the Electoral College, if you wonder, you always hear Hillary say, well, I won the popular vote. I won the popular vote. And then the Democrats are like, we want popular vote. We want popular vote. You have these massive metropolitan areas packed with people. You know, you go to the top 10 cities in the United States and you've got the vast majority of people. That eliminates everybody else. Middle America loses its say. People in, you know, the metropolises tend to be more liberal. There's a lot more welfare. There's a ton more immigrants. And the immigrants, they do vote. And they do collect welfare. And they want handouts. And they don't care about the country like we do. And so we have a system where they made it so we would elect electors to represent each state. They were designed to go back, vote in whole on who becomes president, who becomes vice president, etc., down the list. And they were to vote their conscience and their mind because we would elect them with faith in their belief. And when they did so, hypothetically, they'd go back and debate topics and issues and meet people that are running and all this stuff. And then they'd make the decisions that they thought were the best for the people because we elected them to do that. Now they're saying the electors have to vote with the majority of the people, the constituency. They say they can't ignore or deny the popular vote. Okay, guess what that means? We don't need electors. Why have an elector if they have to go with the popular vote? I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I'm saying the elector system spreads it out. And then, you know, our elector representation is all based on, you know, they're taking us over through shifting zoning where they get the big areas. They wrap these zones around. If you saw the pictures of what they do to gather up all the liberal votes and, it, you know, they're working it all the time. You know, they're working it all the time. The filibuster, just shut everything down. Don't let, you know, your elected representatives negotiate or debate a topic. Just, you know, have the majority or whoever shut it down. I mean, those kinds of things really leave you scratching your head. The anger and vitriol and hatred that's spewing out of the swamp, as we say, backed and fueled by the deep state, is, you know, it's insatiable. Black Lives Matter have their, you know, their six mandates or whatever. And then when those are met, it's not good enough. I want to look that up here. Let's see. Let's get a little bit of that. And then we got the defund the police. Oh, goodness. So, you know, this defund the police thing, obviously, that's not what I was looking for, but give me a break, right? I mean, we can't. If you buy into that, you're buying into absolute reckless tyranny. You think things are bad now, get rid of your police force. And I was on that a little bit ago. Do not ever believe that that is a good thing. It's, you know, we can have justice reform. You know, which is a great thing. I mean, we need justice reform, I think. And I think that their complaints about the legal system and the justice system and the incarcerations, it is crazy. The land of the free and the home of the brave, we have the third highest number of rules and regulations of any nation in the world now. And we're supposed to be the land of the free. So here's, you know, they have all this, I don't know, I'm not, you know, I've got, anyway, I won't get into it because it's everything I'm running into is not as simple as it was. Maybe I could find it here. Sorry, I don't mean to do this to you. It's well, here's one. It's kind of spread out funny. What do they got? Here's, let's see if this is it. Reply. Oh, my gosh. Reparations. I got to find this, folks. You got to hear this stuff. It's kind of crazy. I had it up the other day. Google is so busy moving stuff around for favoritism of these movements that you can't find good information anymore. I've discussed this over and over and over. It's crazy. So anyway, one more try. All right. Here we go. Demands. End the war on black people. Black Lives Matter. The criminalization and dehumanization of black youth across all areas of society. Capital punishment. They want that out. And I, you know, I don't disagree with a lot of this stuff. And you might go, well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible for the Jews when they were a singularized nation that God wanted to keep separate and apart. It was a deterrent, and it was also a DNA cleansing when people showed extreme manifestations towards excessive deviancy or sickness to a degree, and also certain sins that God wanted to honor and blah, blah, blah. But now it's abused, and there's too many people. The system's just too corrupt, and we get too much prosecutorial suppression of evidence and whatnot. But they have money, bail, and court surcharges in court. Anyway, we'll go over the highlights. End the war on black people. Reparations for the systematic denial of access to high quality education. So basically, this isn't a good list anyway. So they want reparations for damages done. They want this invest, divest. They want to have federal, state, and local governments forced to favor all these investments towards black people. They want, of course, economic justice, which is equality of outcome, redistribution of wealth through a progressive restructuring of tax codes at the local, state, and federal levels, employment programs that specifically target the most marginalized black people in order to promote economic equality, a right to restored land, clean air, clean water, and housing, and an end to the exploitative privatization of natural resources. So in other words, you think about, do you know what this is saying? I mean, there's, you know, redistribution of wealth. You can't be rich. They, you know, the more exploited these groups are, the more money they need to get from the people who are earning it. They need special programs that pay them a lot of money to help them catch up with the rest of society. They want everything restored to the way it was. They want no more privatization of natural resources. They want it all given back. The right for workers to organize in the public and private sector. So basically, homemade unions everywhere you go. And then on down the list we go. Community control. Implementation of democratic community control of local state. So they want to be able, they end the privatization of education. I mean, really? So they want full throttle communism. They want to get rid of private schools. They want to have democratic control over their communities. In other words, no outside laws. This is like Sharia law. Communal participation in budgeting at the local state. In other words, money, 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 right? And then political power is their last one. End to the criminalization of black political activity, whatever that means, okay? Black Panther type behavior. You know, crime is crime. I really think that there needs to be unity between the groups. I really do. I mean, I'd be behind them as much as anybody if they approach this a certain way. Anytime you push people into a certain behavior through anger and fear, you're creating a system that won't last. It won't hold up. They have termination of PACs, of course, and the implementation of public financing of elections. So all this stuff, they're just gathering. And this has grown since I've watched it. They're gathering every radical liberal belief. If they had their way, it'd be just absolute overnight socialism to the extreme. It'd be Venezuela, where the government just strips away all the businesses, all, you know, you name it. They take everything away and give it to their friends. But these people don't realize that never works. They never do it. Name one time in history where this has ever worked. And they'll say, well, it has not been implemented properly. That's the big argument. Oh, socialism has never been implemented properly. Well, that's because there is no such thing as proper implementation, because man is greedy and socialism is a godless system. You've got to have a foundational set of laws, rules, and regulations, period. Otherwise, man will do bad things. And that, my friends, is a fact. So, let's see here. We'll go. The other thing I mentioned here in the last show, folks, is the contact tracing stuff that's going on in New York, where they're pushing out fines, $2,000 a day, plus subpoenas, arresting people. I talked about Inslee in our state wanting us to implement his laws, rules, and regulations. They're not really laws. We shouldn't call them that. They're mandates. They're just opinions spewed by a governor that's not, you know, there's no checks and balances there. There's no check. You just can't do that. And as I was saying momentarily, on the Fourth Amendment, okay, you have the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And then they go, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by the oath of affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person's things to be seized. The oath of affirmation means that the person that is stating you've committed a crime has to be on public record. Now we've got all these, you know, these hide the communist things, these KGB things, where people are into this tattletale thing. You know, they've got everybody thinking they're doing so good by calling and tattling on their neighbors. And, oh, you know, I know of a situation where a guy had a couple beers. He was mowing his lawn, and his neighbor, he went somewhere to the store, and his neighbor called the police and said, you know, he was drunk and driving erratic and all. Of course, he gets pulled over, goes through the whole rigmarole, everything's fine. But the thing is this is what we've become to. I mean, we really want to be these kind of people, or we've got people turning in people. There was another situation that was written about here recently where a mother was called by Child Protective Services and demanded she bring down her children because they were seen in a public grocery store and her children weren't wearing masks. Think about this. They can, this person luckily had an attorney on hand and got that handled quickly, but how many people, you know, trust the government? Just let them do their thing. Go back to the Richard Jewell thing in 1996 and the Atlanta bombing and everything since then, you know, they trust the government. Let them do their thing. A lot of people would just yield that stuff. Can you imagine getting your kids confiscated because they didn't wear a mask in a grocery store? I mean, folks, the facts and details I went over last week, and maybe we should probably touch on those a little bit here again, is that this stuff is just not legitimate. I'm sorry, but, you know, there's just so little fact. There's no deaths without, the comorbidity studies, and it's just crazy. So we've got, it's this Swiss policy research. I'll see if I can rattle through some of this stuff here in a sec. Where, you know, they basically are, it's based on the information gathered from about 40 countries that, let's see if I can, here. Anyway. Okay, maybe this is it. So basically, let's rattle through it. So this is from a number of countries. It was recently published last week. According to the latest immunological and serological studies, the overall lethality of COVID-19 is about 0.1%. This is science, folks. This is published journal material, facts. Then it says here is Albert Camus, 1947, quote, "The only means to fight the plague is honesty." Second, in countries like the U.S. and U.K. and also Sweden without lockdowns, overall mortality since the beginning of the year is in the range of a strong influenza season. And again, they're not being reported properly. It's probably far, far less likely to kill. It just isn't. Countries like Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, overall mortality is in the range of a mild influenza. These are countries that just didn't play the game. Even in global hotspots, quote unquote, the risks of death for the general population of school and working age is typically in the range of a daily car ride to work. The risk was initially overestimated because many people with only mild to no symptoms were not taken into account. Those are the asymptomatic cases, which we now know are in mass prevalence. Up to 80% of all test positive persons remain symptom free. Among 70 to 79-year-olds, about 60% are symptom-free. Over 95% of all persons develop, at most, moderate symptoms. Up to 60% of all persons may already have a certain cellular background immunity to COVID-19 due to the contact with previous coronaviruses, i.e. common cold viruses. The median, and then it says the initial assumption that there was no immunity against COVID is not correct. The median age of the deceased in most countries, including Italy, is over 80 years old. It says, for example, 86 years old in Sweden, and only about 4% of the deceased had no pre-existing conditions. I mean, in other words, it just doesn't exist. It's the age and risk profile of deaths thus essentially corresponds to normal mortality. This is just normal life. People get the flu every year, and sometimes elderly people pass and they have the flu with them, and that's that. We are being duped. Believe me. I know there's people listening, and they hear it, and they go, well, I'm not sure. You know, they want to lean towards fear. Up to 30% of all additional, well, here we go. We have, in many countries, up to two-thirds of all extra deaths occurred in nursing homes, which do not benefit from the general lockdown. This is what's crazy. In most cases, it is not clear whether these people really died from COVID-19 or from weeks of the extreme stress of isolation. I mean, taking these old people, locking them up, shutting them down, you know they're not getting cared for properly. That is more likely of what's killed them. Up to 30% of all additional deaths may have been caused not by COVID-19, but by the effects of the lockdown, panic, and fear. For example, the treatment of heart attacks and strokes decreased by up to 60% because many patients no longer dared go to the hospital, as well as the fact I had a relative that got extremely sick and had to go to the hospital with a ruptured appendix and had to wait in the car forever, hours and hours and hours, to even get in because, by golly, they couldn't sit in the waiting room. We're acting like this is some kind of a wacko, you know, zombie plague that comes out in these movies. Even in so-called COVID-19 deaths, it's not clear. Oh, we discussed that. No, we didn't. Even in so-called COVID-19 deaths, it's often not clear whether they died from or with coronavirus and other underlying diseases, or if they were counted as presumed cases and never tested at all. We know that's the case. However, official figures usually do not reflect this distinction. Next one. Many media reports of young and healthy people dying from COVID-19 turned out to be false. Many of these young people either did not die from COVID-19, they had already been seriously ill. It says, and then it says, for example, undiagnosed leukemia and other diseases, or they were in fact 109 instead of 9 years old. And apparently the computer, that was a specific case. The claimed increase in Kawasaki disease, I remember that, in children also turned out to be completely false. Strong increases in regional mortality can occur if there is a collapse in the care of the elderly and sick as a result of infection or panic, if there are additional risk factors such as severe air pollution. Questionable regulations for dealing with deceased sometimes led to additional bottlenecks in funeral and cremation services, which we know about. And it goes on and on. I think you basically, you know, the often shown exponential curve of coronavirus cases is completely misleading as the number of tests has increased exponentially. In most countries, the ratio of positive tests to overall tests, the positive rate, they call it, remained constant at about 5 to 25%. which is 25% in some small countries that had no testing before, and people are coming in voluntarily, 5% in big countries like America, or increased only slightly, and it goes on. The peak of the spread was already reached well before the lockdown took place, and so on and so forth. And I'll just leave it at that. This, you know, they were killing people with ventilators, intubation, all this is just a freak-out overreaction. And it has been driven by the liberals. It's being politically used. Folks, if this continues, this will continue. If Trump wins the election, get ready for 4 more years of hell. So I'm telling you, you better get together. We need to build some groups, organize some organizations that stand up and put the truth out there. We've got to have the truth. You can't have the attitude God will sift it all out. We all have individual responsibility to get out there and spread the truth. We are responsible. I can show you in the Bible a million times. That's what God calls us to do. We're responsible for this domain. Somehow we're in a battle with the devil for it, but it's ours if we want it. We can take it back. And it's just really, I think it's critical that you just don't let fear drive or motivate you or demotivate you or whatever you want to call it. You know, the Bible, God gave us a spirit, not of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but of power and love and self-control. That's the spirit God gave us. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power. That means strength. If you're not strong, if you're cowardly, I'm sorry, then you are absolutely denying the way God made you. You've been broken somewhere along the way. You need to overcome that. It says, and of love. We're made in God's image. God is love. You have the ability to love while you have power and self-control. There is no fear in love, John, 1 John 4:18, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love, etc. And then Psalms 34:4, and I'm out of time. It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So folks, stand up, be strong, seek the truth no matter the cost, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.